The eighth chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Mercy and peace from our God and Savior. Mercy and peace and still more mercy. Amen. Our theme this Lenten season is mystic mercy. There's a nice bit about that in the inside cover of the bulletin today if you want to learn a little bit more of what we're getting at with this theme. It's a theme that grew out of conversations and then a workshop that were led by the worship planning team back a couple months. How could we focus on God's mystery, revel in mercy, explore some new faith practices? We asked that question. How could we do that? How could we make space to be open to God's presence deep within? And how could we be quiet and quiet our whirling minds in this whirling world and move from head-focused to heart-focused? To truly rest in God. So in that spirit, let me start by confessing this morning. Goodness knows this preacher is filled with stories, and there's plenty that I could preach this morning about these scripture passages that we've just heard. They're good stories. They're really good stories. God's covenant with Abraham and Sarah, Peter's struggle with Jesus, and those hard words about how do you follow the cross. They're important passages in our tradition. But today, instead of preaching, instead of using my words in that kind of way, I trust the Spirit's mysterious love moving in the silence that we're going to have. And I invite you into that sense of trust and surrender. It's actually a sense of trust and surrender that weaves itself throughout the scripture passages we heard. There's always trusting and surrendering in these particular passages. They flow through these readings. So I invite you into that today, and I won't say too much. And another confession of sorts. God knows it's been a big week. It's been a really big week. There was the bloodshed, and then the funeral bells that still toll, and grief that is overwhelming for many. And students walking out, students in Florida, but students across the country, students in Minneapolis and the suburbs, walking out in protest for gun reform, for safety, for basic safety. And as I listened to all that, it was clear that between all of that, that big event, which is really a bunch of events all connected, life pressure and school pressure, and these long weeks of winter and the plague of illnesses that many folks have been getting, for some of our young people and some of our not-so-young people, it's been a lot. It has been simply a lot. And tears have welled up, and we've cried out, enough, enough. It has been enough. So today, as all of this swirls around us, we make space this morning to learn an ancient practice, a new practice, but an ancient practice, a practice of prayer and of Bible reading called Lectio Divina, quite literally holy or divine reading. Lectio Divina. It turns out that the sense of trust and surrender to God that runs through all of our passages this morning, that's the same trust and surrender with which we want to approach these holy readings. Sometimes when we cry out, enough, enough, God makes this quiet space where we can simply be. Cynthia Bourgeau is an Episcopal priest, and she's one of the gurus of contemporary prayer, contemporary centering prayer. She tells of how often we teach kids, and this is exactly what you were getting at, Pastor Barbara, how often we teach kids that praying is talking to God. I've said that 1,000 times myself. It's praying, it's talking to God, kids, adults, it's talking to God. And it is. It is. We teach each other to pray certain prayers by heart. We encourage one another to pray with our own words. We talk to God, and that's good. And it's fine, and it's vital. Keep doing it. Don't stop teaching that. And yet, Cynthia goes on another step, and she recalls from her own growing up, her own early education, 6 years that she spent in a Quaker school where they would weekly revel not in talking, but in silence. In silence. She writes, in that silence, as I gazed at the sunlight sparkling through these high upper windows, or followed a secret tug drawing me down into my own heart, I began to know a prayer much deeper than talking to God. Somewhere in the depths of silence, I came upon my first experiences of God as a loving presence, God as a loving presence that was always near, and a prayer as simple trust in that presence. So today, let us use Lectio Divina to sit with God, to surrender, to make a place for mystery and for mercy for that very loving presence. It's a newer practice for many of us. I've done it before, but it's still newer to me. It's not the one that I go to as often. And that's why it may feel a little bit odd to some of you who aren't as familiar with Lectio Divina. You might feel like you're not doing it right, and that's okay. It's okay. I simply invite you to enter into this, to try it with us today. We're going to use a section of Psalm 22, the section that's actually assigned for this morning. We've already heard this put to music. We sang it, Stand in Awe, by Brett Hesla. So we're going to move through this little section of Psalm 22 that's in your bulletin, and we'll use a portion of the passage. And as you hear it, I'm going to ask you to listen for a word or a phrase that touches you. Simply pick out a word or a phrase that touches you. And then we're going to have some silence, and then we're going to hear it again, and you'll hold on to that word or that phrase. You might memorize it. You might repeat it. You might chew on it. You might listen to what God may be saying to you through that word or phrase. And you might take what God is giving to you through that word or that phrase. And then we'll hear it again. And this time, this third time, let it be prayer. Your heart speaking to our loving God, moving from your head to then engage your heart. Moving from your head to be able to engage your heart. And finally, we'll sit for a moment and we'll rest. We'll simply rest in God's presence. These stations and the passages are in the bulletin. You can check them out if you like, but mostly I simply invite you to settle in to this time of prayer. So open your bulletins if you'd like to, or not, and settle into this time of prayer. Get comfortable. Maybe you need to put your feet on the floor. You need to take a couple deep breaths. Find a way to be silent inside and outside. Listen this first time for a word or a phrase that touches you.
You who fear the Lord, give praise. All you of Jacob's line, give glory. Stand in awe of the Lord, all you offspring of Israel. For the Lord does not despise nor abhor the poor in their poverty, neither is the Lord's face hidden from them. But when they cry out, the Lord hears them. From you comes my praise in the great assembly. I will perform my vows in the sight of those who fear the Lord. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Let those who seek the Lord give praise. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of nations shall bow before God. For dominion belongs to the Lord, who rules over the nations. Indeed, all who sleep in the earth shall bow down in worship. All who go down to the dust, though they be dead, shall kneel before the Lord. Their descendants shall serve the Lord, whom they shall proclaim to generations to come. They shall proclaim God's deliverance to a people yet unborn, saying to them, "The Lord has acted."
As we hear the reading again, hold on to that word or phrase. Repeat it, memorize it, chew on it. Listen for what God may be saying to you through it.
You who fear the Lord, give praise. All you of Jacob's line, give glory. Stand in awe of the Lord, all of you offspring of Israel. For the Lord does not despise nor abhor the poor in their poverty, neither is the Lord's face hidden from them. But when they cry out, the Lord hears them. From you comes my praise in the great assembly. I will perform my vows in the sight of those who fear the Lord. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Let those who seek the Lord give praise. May your hearts live forever. At the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of nations shall bow before God, for dominion belongs to the Lord, who rules over the nations. Indeed, all who sleep in the earth shall bow down and worship. All who go down to the dust, though they be dead, shall kneel before the Lord. Their descendants shall serve the Lord, whom they shall proclaim to generations to come. They shall proclaim God's deliverance to a people yet unborn, saying to them, "The Lord has acted."
Listen again. And let this be prayer, your heart speaking with our God who loves you, who deeply, deeply loves you.
You who fear the Lord, give praise. All you of Jacob's line, give glory. Stand in awe of the Lord, all you offspring of Israel. For the Lord does not despise nor abhor the poor in their poverty, neither is the Lord's face hidden from them. But when they cry out, the Lord hears them. From you comes my praise in the great assembly. I will perform my vows in the sight of those who fear the Lord. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Let those who seek the Lord give praise. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of nations shall bow before God, for dominion belongs to the Lord, who rules over the nations. Indeed, all who sleep in the earth shall bow down and worship. All who go down to the dust, though they be dead, shall kneel before the Lord. Their descendants shall serve the Lord, whom they shall proclaim to generations to come. They shall proclaim God's deliverance to a people yet unborn, saying to them, "The Lord has acted."
Finally, rest. Rest in God's presence. Simply rest. Thank you. Thank you for doing this risky, vulnerable, trusting thing and trying something that may have been new, that maybe felt a little bit different to you. In the gospel, Jesus tells his disciples, to Peter and the others, he says, "If you want to be my followers, take up your cross and follow me." We've often heard this, maybe even used it as a bit of a martyr's line. "That's my cross to bear." You've heard that before, I bet. "That's my cross to bear." Today I want to reframe that, and I wonder simply, how do we remain open to the places in our lives, in our world, where there is suffering? How do we remain open to this suffering? Because the truth is, we don't often choose our crosses. But rather, when we're open, we surrender to them. We surrender to the challenging and the hard and the suffering around us. So instead of muscling through, instead of letting our guilt and shame overtake us, instead of overthinking and then rethinking again, maybe Jesus meets us in the places of suffering, our suffering, our neighbor's suffering, the world's suffering, and gently opens us with this beautiful mix of courage and vulnerability and letting go. And in the end, that letting go becomes taking up. The letting go becomes taking up the cross. What we did this morning, this practice of Lectio, this way of praying, this vulnerable, risky, trusting thing, it can change who we are and how we act and actually how we live. It can change us. It really can. Will we remain open, trusting and courageous before all the suffering that's around us, before the hard stuff that's around us? You know that, dear ones, that is the mystic mercy of Lent. Thanks be to God. Amen.